Nelson Mandela, who just died just before Christmas, is one of my modern day heroes. I like him not only because of his struggle for equality and freedom, but I admire his character. I like his political maturity. He wasn't just a popularity seeker. He was a man with conviction. I like his patience. 27 years in prison. And I like his single-minded devotion to the cause he believed in, and that was equality and freedom. During the days when he was being honored and later buried, I listened to a lot about him, especially on BBC. And one of the things that I learned about him was that while he was in prison, he was actually very submissive. He submitted himself to the very demanding regimen of the prison, and he worked like a worker in the stone quarry that the prisoners were supposed to work in. His dignified submission. Keep those words in the back of your mind throughout this homily. His dignified submission earned him the respect of his prison wardens and of the other prisoners. It was in prison that he took upon himself, first of all, to learn the language of his oppressors, Afrikaans. He understood the thinking and the philosophy of his oppressors, and he gained absolute mastery over the problem in South Africa in an intellectual way. This dignified submission, along with his knowledge of his oppressors, helped him to transition South Africa from being an oppressive state to a democracy. Now remember, it could have been a very risky experiment. Nelson Mandela out of prison, and there could have been tremendous violence against those that were thus far oppressors, but it did not happen. In fact, at his inauguration, his prison warden was invited to the ceremony. And publicly, Nelson Mandela forgave his prison warden and he asked the rest of South Africa to follow the example. But for Nelson Mandela and his political maturity and the way he understood submission, I think the history of South Africa would be written very differently. I want to approach the feast of the baptism of Jesus from the perspective of submission. It's not a good word these days. It's not an easy word to understand, but I want to understand the baptism of Jesus from the perspective of submission. The idea that Jesus needed to be baptized is a very discomforting thought. If he was without sin, if he was the Redeemer instead of standing in need for redemption, why should Jesus have to submit himself to baptism? In fact, John the Baptist protests. He says, "I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me." The Catechism of the Catholic Church says about the baptism of Jesus, he says, "At his baptism, Jesus is submitting himself entirely to the will of the Father." And again, the word submission comes in the Catechism of the Church. Jesus is submitting himself entirely to his Father's will. Out of love, he consents to this baptism of death for the remission of our sins. Now, already at Christmas, Jesus had come to be born among us. But at his baptism, it's almost as if Jesus gathered all of humanity and he stood stood by their side and he submitted himself both to the Father and to humanity so that human redemption can be accomplished. So Jesus' baptism then, I'm saying, is an act of submission both to the Father and to the human cause. So my 3 points that I have today are a reflection on submission, and particularly understanding our baptism as an act of submission, just like Jesus's. First, let's try to understand this word submission. The dictionary says that submission is a willingness to yield or surrender to someone else's power and authority. Now, in our times, submission has a very negative connotation for 2 reasons. One, because sometimes our egos are bigger than the rest of the world, so it's hard to submit to someone else. But secondly, because power and authority has been exercised in a negative way. Think about slavery. Racism. The second-class treatment of women, both in society and in the church. The exercise of brute military force. Economic injustices. The institutionalization of poverty. The history of child abuse and abuse of people all over the world, but particularly child abuse in the church, was considered an abuse of power and authority. So submission has a negative connotation, but I'm saying it need not be. The baptism of Jesus shows that submission can be a positive experience. So Jesus submits himself to God the Father, and what happens? The heavens are open, and the Holy Spirit comes upon him, and a voice is heard, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." In other words, the submission of Jesus to God became an affirming experience for him. His identity is confirmed. He is God's Son. His mission becomes clear. In other words, at the baptism of Jesus, when Jesus submits himself to the Father, he is both affirmed and empowered. Authority, submission can be a good thing even for another reason. When you know there is a greater cause. For example, Nelson Mandela, he submits himself to 27 years of oppression in the prison, but he did that because there was a greater cause to accomplish. He keeps his eye on the greater cause. Same thing with Jesus. Jesus, at his baptism, brings all of us before the Father, and he submits himself. Why? Because there is a greater cause, your redemption and mine. So Jesus stands by our side, and Jesus submits himself, and by that submission, he would lead us from death to life, from slavery to freedom, from condemnation to salvation. So he submits himself for a greater cause. So, the understanding of the word submission need not be negative. It is often negative, but it can be positive. The second thing I want to say is that submission is the starting point for spiritual growth. I entered the seminary in the 80s. And by then, seminary life had emerged from the days of very rigorous penitential practices into a little more palatable affair. I heard horror stories of submission. So for example, the superior would tell the novice to plant a broomstick and water it for a year. This broomstick is not going to bloom into a rose flower, it's not, but you do it out of pure submission. Or when seminarians had to lie on the doorstep as doormats in submission. Or the days when you had to beg for your bread or your soup from the other seminarians. If they liked you, if the soup was not good, you got a whole lot of it. If the soup was good, you probably got a drop of it in your bowl. Anyway, the whole idea was the idea of submission. Now, when I look back at it, this looks like a horror story, right? But there's a lesson being taught. And the lesson was simply this, that even before we attempt to understand God or God's revelation, if spirituality is about aligning my will to God's will, then the first step is submitting to God. The first step is to understand that I, like John the Baptist would say, am nothing. Even Jesus, who became nothing and submitted himself to God, that's the first step in the growth of spirituality. And that is why, before Jesus goes into the desert, before Jesus begins his ministry after being tempted, he submits himself to God. That's the starting point of spirituality. Jesus would add another dimension, that we must also submit ourselves to one another. Love of humanity is a kind of submission. So today, when you look back at your own life, if you find there are spiritual struggles, for example, you just find it difficult to pray every day, or failing to connect faith and life, or any of the cardinal sins, anger, greed, sloth, pride, lust, envy, gluttony, all of these cardinal sins in some way has to do with our refusal to submit ourselves to God. On the contrary, if we can learn the meaning of submission, then we begin to see life from God's perspective. Because now my will is to know God's will. I'm willing to submit. I don't think I know more than God. Like Jesus, submission helps us to have a mission and an identity. It helps us to be humble, to be loving, to be kind and generous. Submission is the first step to spiritual growth. Thirdly, I want to reflect on our baptism as an act of submission. Most of us, I'm sure here, are baptized. When we think of baptism as becoming a Catholic, as entering the church, as receiving the new life of Christ, as receiving the power of the Holy Spirit, and all these things are valid. But how ought we understand our baptism as an act of submission to God and to the mission of Jesus? Now, even though submission, as I said, is a negative thing, without submission, society would be chaotic, right? So, for example, children must submit to their parents, isn't it? Till they become adults and make their own decision. Husbands and wives, for a family to run, to a large extent, surrender their independence and freedom. Yes, they don't do anything they want to do, no. For a larger cause, you surrender some things that are precious to you. Society functions because we all submit to social laws. So, for example, as an Indian, I would love to drive on the left side of the street, but I don't. Just have to submit to the law because there would be chaos. The other day, I was buying a dog license, and I said, why do I have to give $20 to the state because I have a dog? I said, this is wayside robbery. I said to somebody, I'm never buying a dog license ever again. But you submit. Why? Because that is the law of the society. So without submission, there would be chaos. But I'm saying, as a baptized Christian, And as a disciple, we must understand our baptism as an act of submission, not because we want to be violated and exploited. That's not the idea, but because I want to unite myself with the submission of Jesus Christ. Jesus submitted himself to the Father, and he submitted himself to humanity for the cause of their redemption. And now my baptism, I must stand next to God, next to Christ, and say, Jesus, just like you united yourself with me, now I am going to unite myself with you. Here I am. I give my will to your will. And how do we submit ourselves? So for example, we submit ourselves to Christ when we come to him in daily prayer, when we come to God in daily prayer. To come before God in daily prayer and to seek God is an act of submission. When I live my daily life according to the message of the gospel, the message of Christ, the ministry of Christ, I'm submitting myself to Christ. When in the midst of tragedy I can face my life with faith, that's an act of submission. And again, we can submit ourselves for a larger cause, for the sake of the family. Yes, we can submit ourselves. For the sake of the gospel, we must submit ourselves to the church. For the sake of discipleship, we must try to submit ourselves to the way of Christ, life that Christ taught us. Simple ways. But to consciously live our baptism as an act of submission, I think it's a great virtue. Not negatively, positively. That's what Jesus did. Very soon the bread and wine will be brought and put on the altar. And that's an act of submission by Jesus. This is God. God brings God's self into humble bread and simple wine. That's an act of submission. Jesus is submitting himself to us in this Eucharist. Without Jesus' submission, there is no Eucharist today. And then Jesus puts himself in our hands, into human hands, as an act of submission in the Eucharist. So the Eucharist is an act of submission by God. As we receive Jesus, let's pray that we can live our daily lives in submission to God, so that we can be God's children like Jesus, so that we can do service for the good of humanity. People of God, say.